How many Gamecock fans we have here today? Let me see your hands. Oh, aren't you sweet? Yeah, I wanted to let you know where I stand. I love Gamecock fans. You know, here a while back, they had to call the Columbia City crew out after one of the games. Somebody asked me what happened. I said, well, they had to clean up all the chicken bones that the Tigers left in town. Oh, Dutch Fork, you've let me be your pastor. You've loved me. You've been so good to us and so many ways, and it's I'll never forget you. Never forget you. Never forget you. I'm blessed today in so many ways to have your paths across mine. My life is richer. Rome and I have just truly been undergirded and loved in a way that we didn't think it would ever happen again, did we, honey? We love our folks from First Calvary. Some of them are here today. Chairman of Deacons from my home church, Hickory Grove, Larry Barnes, he's here today. And a lot of my cousins are back there. And Roma's going to introduce all of them to you a little later. But I want to just say to Leon and to Matt Barr and to Janie French, Naomi Miller, Robin Broad, Jared Kaiser, what a great staff you've all been. To work with you, and Naomi's always made me look good on Sunday mornings with slides, and Leon has always done such a great job. Janie's always done such a great job. Matt playing the praise team. Just you can't help but worship when you come here. You can't help but experience God. He and I decided a long time ago that when folks came to Dutch Fork, we wanted them to experience God, didn't we? And so I pray today that you experience God in a fresh way here today. It's not about me, please. It's about Jesus. It's all about Him. So if I'll help myself if I go ahead and stop talking and start preaching. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 20. When you find that passage, stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20. I want you to know this morning that I do not compare myself at all to the Apostle Paul. But I think in the life of any pastor and any congregation, there are so many similarities that it's hard to ignore them. I think that to finish well, I think God wants us all to finish well. We all flawed. We are none perfect. There was only one perfect. But I want to challenge you today, Dutch Fork, to finish well. I want to challenge you to complete the journey that you began together with Rome and I about 7.5 years ago, when we were permitted to be called and become your pastor. So listen to this farewell message of Paul to the saints to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have shewn you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I go preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that this, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves some men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch. That's a military term. Remember that for the space of 3 years, may I inject 7.5, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, yet ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto mine own necessities and to them that were with me. If I have shown you all things, how that by so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept much and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. May our Heavenly Father bless the reading of his word to your hearts and lives today. Thank you. Please be seated. Many of you have asked me how I feel. The past 2 months have been probably two of the most difficult months that Roma and I have lived. It's been one of the longest goodbyes. It's been one of the most difficult goodbyes in a good way. Most of you probably are not aware today, but the Lexington Baptist Association annual meeting was held here at Dutch Fork Baptist Church in October of 2005. It was here at that annual meeting that I was voted and called to be the director of leadership development for the Lexington Baptist Association. Little did I know that night when I sat in this sanctuary along with Roma and about 40 some odd people that came with me from First Calvary that night, where we had been privileged to pastor for about 27 years. Little did I realize that one day, 4 years later, God would bring us back to this congregation. As we pondered and talked and thought about that, she and I have look back over our lives and look back over the journey and look back how God has worked and moved in the lives of this church. And we have been grateful, humbly appreciative for the opportunity that we've had to labor together with you. Let me say up front again that I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul. Again, he is addressing the young church at Ephesus. He's addressing those elders in that congregation, those leaders, those spiritual guides, those spiritual men who have been empowered and graced by God to lead that church in his absence. He is saying to them with all of his heart that he loves them and he's grateful for what they have done for him and how they have supported him and how they have stood with him. And he reminds them of all that has taken place in that journey. Let me mention to you this morning three things that Paul reminds them of. First of all, he reminds them of the nature of his ministry. When Rome and I came to Dutch Fork, we came to a church that in a lot of ways it was hurting. In a lot of ways there was pain that had been bound up for years in the hearts of many of you who are still here with us. There was agony of spirit and agony of soul, and there was questions in your mind about what's going to happen, where are we going, what's going to take place. And I said almost every Sunday for about the first 6 months, no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, no matter what you say, no matter what you don't say, I am going to love you. I thank God for giving me that capacity and giving Roma that capacity that we could love you and help you heal and help you get over and move beyond and start a new journey together. Notice the nature of his life and the nature of his teachings in verse 18 through 21. Someone has adequately said, without a test, there isn't a testimony. Ministers of the gospel, Christians, believers, children of God are constantly under the scrutiny of others. Your every move is examined. Your every word that is said is questioned sometimes. Sometimes you feel like just hanging it up and giving it up and quitting. And that's easy to do. It's hard not to give up. It's easy to run. It's easy to let somebody else take charge and take over, and then you can point the finger and blame them when it collapses. No matter how great a leader is, there must be great followers. No matter how good that individual may be, there must be good people surrounding him. And Dutch Fork, you have surrounded Room and I. You have been great people. You have been good people. You have stood with us as we have watched God take care of every situation that we faced. I think back in sitting in one of our deacons' meetings one Monday night. And I think back and I remember the decision that was made in that meeting. And I remember that several of you men said, we don't agree with the decision, but we are going to support our pastor. That spoke volumes to me. Would to God that congregations across the world today would understand that God places spiritual leaders there just for that, to be spiritual leaders and to lead that congregation. Miss Roman, I don't agree on everything. I really wanted to buy another tie. Seriously, I did. But I knew someone wouldn't like the tie that I was going to buy, so I settled for this one. Seriously, ask her. We walked around all the tie tables in Belks, and there's about 5 tie tables in Belks. I'm talking about stations, not tables, stations. And we picked and we looked and we picked and we looked. And so I settled on my favorite team. You're my favorite team, Dutch Fork. No matter how, listen to me, no matter how great a quarterback you have, there have to be linemen that open that way. There have to be backs, running backs and halfbacks and fullbacks and tailbacks and every other person on that team, the other 10 players on that team must do their job. My son John's here this morning and he'll tell you that being a quarterback isn't funny. When the team messes up, guess who gets blamed? But the other side of that is when the team goes forward, guess who gets the credit? So you have to be willing to accept it. Ministers, people are constantly under the scrutiny of the world. Paul was constantly under the scrutiny of all those around him. This is first century Christianity. Take heed unto yourselves and the flock of God. Verse 28. He said, I have kept nothing back. I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And that comes out of Ezekiel chapter 33. Where God said, I'll require the blood of your hands if you fail not to share the gospel, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. I'll require their blood at your hands. Paul said, I'm free. How many people's going to be living in this area within 17 years? 1 million. You have a tremendous responsibility to this community. So Paul reminded them of the nature of his ministry, but next he reminded them of the dangers that they were going to face. Whoever said church was easy? Whoever said being a Christian was easy? Whoever said following Jesus was easy? But yet he said, if you don't forsake all, if you don't forsake houses and lands and mothers and sisters and brothers and family and follow me, you're not worthy of me. There is a cost in discipleship. Few really are willing to pay that cost. There are two major dangers that Paul talks about. Probably others as well, but he mentions two here that you, the church, needs to be on guard against. And you need to be on guard against this immediately. Remember, I warned you and I said to you, and you don't want to be haunted by me. For you that are guests today and haven't heard that before, I warned them that every person that came, and if they left after I leave, I'm going to come back and honk the tar out of them. You came to support this church. You came to support the ministry of Dutch Fork Baptist Church. You came to help build the kingdom of God here. You came to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness here. You did not come to support a pastor. You did not come to idolize a pastor. You did not come to exalt a minister. You came to lift up Jesus Christ. Give Him a hand today, church. Give Him a hand. He's worthy. Let that be the reason that you're here and continue to be here. Persecution from without, savage wolves. They know how to come in when you're weak and when you're down. They come in and they'll not spare the flock. They'll seek out the spiritually lame and the spiritually weak among you. They'll lead you astray into error and false doctrine and temptation. They'll devour you if possible. Be strong. Be on guard. Don't let it happen. No, never. Don't let it happen. You know what it was like. You that were here. When I came in, and not to put Doug on the spot, but Doug will tell you, there was about 5 winds of doctrine floating around in this church. We had individuals coming in off the street with their pieces of paper wanting to teach whatever they wanted to teach. And I said to Doug, either you take care of it or I will. And he did. And you have to have men like that that are willing to step up. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump, either for worse or for good. those wolves will try to come in. And listen to me, they won't come. You won't recognize them as a wolf. They won't smell, look, act like a wolf. They'll come in a gray suit with an orange tie on. And they know just how to act just like you. And they'll build themselves a little following, and all of a sudden then they'll start slipping this little bit to you, and slipping that little bit to you, and slipping the other little bit to you, until all of a sudden they got you hooked. And so there'll be persecution from without. But there'll also be persecution from within the body. There'll be those whom Satan will try to use from within this body. Don't let it happen. Don't be a part of it. Don't succumb to it. Resist that temptation. You're not ever going to agree about everything. Dr. Ed Carney, who is retiring from Riverland Hills Baptist Church, along with Dr. Wayne Cole, said that 17% of every congregation never gets on board with their pastor anyway. There'll always be those that, for whatever reason, they don't like where you put the piano. Let's move it. Understand, there'll always be that jealousy, that strife, that envy, that division. God is not the author of that. Don't let it be named among you. Don't let it be a part of your life and your ministry. They will come in as wolves, and they will be like sheep in clothing. And their method is twofold: to divide and then conquer. This is kind of gory, but I'm going to tell it anyway. If you've ever watched some of the Animal Kingdom shows on TV, you watch how the wolves will separate the zebra out of the flock. They'll keep circling and circling and circling that flock until finally they separate one of the zebras out of the flock. And then they, while the herd is running away in the other direction. Now, those zebras could literally stomp those wolves to pieces if they all pulled together. But the rest of those zebras will let those wolves keep circling that flock until they get one separated out of it. And then they'll chase it down and devour it. Don't let it happen, Dutch Fork. Be on guard for it. Watch for it. And then Paul commends them to God and to His Word. Note the word commend here means to entrust. To place into the entrust of some, the stewardship of someone or something. I want you to know this morning that I feel this very strongly. I can entrust you. I can entrust this church to the God and to His Word who has been with us these 7.5 years. Just as Paul was entrusting the church and the elders at Ephesus to God and to His Word, I believe today that if you stand firmly upon the Word of God and let the Word of God speak and leave your opinion alone, remember, the Holy Spirit is not bound to witness to our opinions, but only to the inerrant, infallible Word of God. You can put 6 people in a room, bring up a biblical subject. If you're not careful, you'll develop 6 opinions. Well, Grandma said this, Granddaddy said this, well, the preacher said this, or the Sunday school teacher said this, or some reliable individual that they have tremendous confidence in. Let God's Word be God's Word. And let it speak. That's what he wants to do. And so Paul says, I commend you to God and I commend you to his word. The work will go on. It will continue. God has promised you that if you are obedient to his word, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, forever reserved in heaven for every one of you. 5 crowns are mentioned in the scripture that are obtainable by every child of God. Just for trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to receive the crown of life. could lay at the feet of Jesus one day. And his revelation says, you'll cry out, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all honor and all glory and all majesty and all powerful by you and for you. And through you is everything that is made in heaven and in earth. Then there's a second passage of scripture. Just turn to it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Anybody's tummy rumbling yet? Now you can blame Miss Roma for this long sermon. She says, you preach as long as you feel you need to. Boy, when your wife tells you that, Okay, so here's part two, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are three words that I want to pull out. They're just straight out of the scripture, straight out of the old King James. And if you have another translation that doesn't have these three words, I feel sorry for you. No, I'm just kidding. I know I'm dated. That's why I'm retired. I know I'm dated. Why can I say these things to you today that I've just said? Why could Paul say these things that he said to the believers at Ephesus and to those spiritual leaders, those elders at Ephesus? John and I had a conversation. I put him on the spot a little bit. We had a conversation. Came in for my birthday Friday, and he and Ashley, and we had a conversation a little bit on elders. John Paston and Ashley up in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Summit Church, and John has a group of elders. Some of his elders are his professors at the seminary. How would you like to be Paston, your elder, who is your professor? He and I was having a little discussion on elders and their place in the church, their ministry in the church. Why can I say these things to you today? Because I am an elder. I have been chosen and called and set apart for such a time and such a day as this. No, there won't ever be another Johnny Muller. That's who I am. There was an article I read the other day, who will be the next Billy Graham? There won't be another Billy Graham. There's not another Moses. There's not another Abraham. You are who you are. God created you for this day and for this time. He called you and chose you for this day and this time. You're not here by accident. You may have came because it's my retirement day. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But you listen, that was just a tool that God got you here to hear this message. You are chosen for such a time as this. We are living in the last days. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draws near. And for those that are guests today, I said to this congregation when I came to them, I made a promise to them. I made a promise to them, and I made a promise to God. I've got two attaché cases at home right now full of sermons. And Miss Roma will tell you, I can't find one of them. It's out in the shed, boxed up in the shed from the last time we moved from Lexington to where we're living now. I don't know where it's at. Joni and John will find it when I'm gone and they have to clean out the shed. And they can have the sermons. But I promised them I'd have a fresh word of God for them every Sunday morning when I stood in this pulpit. Now I want to tell you something. I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. And don't take it personally, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Are you listening? Gallup did a poll. I've got it on my phone right now. You can go Google it and look at it. George Gallup did a poll over the Easter week. And they polled 1,500 people across the United States. And they asked those 1,500 people, listen to me. They asked those 1,500 people, what was the number one thing that was bringing them back to church? What do you think it was? Well, we went through the time of events. We used events to attract people. The old preacher told me a long time ago, Johnny, what you catch them with, you'll have to keep them with. Then we turned to the music. And we've gone through the music wars, hadn't we, Leon? I mean, Leon and I decided 7.5 years ago, he's been here a little bit longer than I have, we decided 7.5 years ago that this was going to be a blended worship service. We were not going to make two congregations out of this congregation. We chose to do that because we felt that it was God's plan and God's will and God's purpose for Dutch Fork, and that it was what was needed in this community. But Leon, I'm sorry to tell you, this morning didn't music. The number one and number two reason that young families, and by the way, last Sunday, Mother's Day, 2 weeks ago, we dedicated 4 babies to the Lord. Today we dedicated another one. When I came to what the young married Sunday school class was, the Tim, Doug. Why do we get young families in Dutch Fork Baptist Church? Well, it sure isn't this old gray hair on this old gray-headed man. The number one reason today that young couples are returning to church is because of the preaching of the inerrant and infallible Word of God, which is truth without any mixture of error. You get online and you go read it for yourself. The number two reason is sermons that are applicable to my life that I can take home and apply to my everyday living. Give God a hand for that. That ought to tell us something. And so when I came, because I have faithfully declared God's testimony to you, because I came not with the excellency of speech or of man's wisdom, but with the inerrant and infallible Word of God, which cannot return void, that will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. It will not return void. There is no substitute for the Word of God in your life. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word is forever settled in heaven. All you and I have to do is proclaim it. All you and I have to do is declare it. That's all Paul did. Paul didn't even have a hymn book. Yes, I know in Colossians he says, singing to yourself in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, making grace and melody in your heart to the Lord. But Paul declared the infallible and inerrant Word of God. Listen to me this morning. You either get saved by the Word of God or you do not get saved. There's no way to be born again. There's no way to be blood washed. There is no way that you can come to know Christ without the inerrant, infallible Word of God, which is truth without any mixture of error, that is forever settled in heaven and will not return unto Him void. In fact, we are kept by the Word of God. Proclaim it, Dutch Fork, proclaim it. But then, secondly, Paul said, because I determined to preach nothing but Jesus. Now, you'd have been with me. You know I don't preach feel-good sermons. I've never preached feel-good sermons. I holler, I scream, I snort, I spit. But I don't preach feel-good sermons. Because a feel-good sermon will last you. About the time you get out that driveway out there and somebody rear-ends you, or you rear-end somebody. The first time a calamity comes into your life and you don't have the Word of God to hold on to. You all know what happened to us last year. And by the way, when I came here, I could shout and dance and jump a pew. And I want you all to know, let me get started. Now, two Sundays ago, I couldn't have done that, but listen to me. I dreamed the other night that God had healed my foot. Remember me telling you? God knows nothing except by His Word. And if you're not drawn by the Word of God, if you're not caught by the Word of God, it won't last. You can get emotional over a Snicker bar. In fact, you can get real emotional when Carolina gets up on Clemson by about 10 points. But it won't last no longer than the next game and you lose. Right, Tony? My Gamecock buddy's sitting back there. I determined to preach nothing but Jesus. Through my weakness and my failure of the flesh, God has and will be glorified. Jesus Christ was preached, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. And He is coming again. And when I finish that series of prophetic messages for you, God has already opened doors for me to preach those messages in a number of churches already. I thank God for that. Going down to be with Brother Larry at Hickory Grove the end of July and 1st of August. Get ready, Larry. But number three, I don't want you to miss this. I alluded to it a little earlier in this message. I don't care how much of the Word of God you know. I don't care how loud you shout, scream, spit, dance, stomp, whatever you do. But listen carefully. If the power of the Holy Spirit is not in it, then all you have done is had good exercise. Did you hear me? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the anointing of the Spirit of God upon it, and in order to have the anointing of the Spirit of God, you've got to get where the Spirit of God can speak to your heart. You've got to close out the world long enough. You've got to close out all that's going on. You've got to shut out the world and be able to spend time with God in order that God can speak into your heart and the Holy Spirit of God can then anoint that word so that when it comes out of your heart and comes through your mouth and through your vocal cords and out of your lips, it's not you that is speaking, but it's the Spirit of God that is speaking through you, the anointing of God that's upon you. Many of you come up to me and said, as your pastor, the one thing I love about your preaching is your passion. Pity the man. I'm passionate. Listen to me. I'm passionate when I kiss my wife. I'm passionate when I eat a Snicker. I'm passionate when I drive. Don't get in my way. I'm passionate. I'm passionate. Pity the person that's not passionate, that does not have the passion and the compassion of the Holy Spirit living in them, energizing the Word of God to bring the power of God to the people of God in order that the people of God might become what God envisioned and saw them to be in the councils of eternity past. I did not seek to entice you with flattering words of wisdom, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and faith. I did not seek to impress you. I'm unlearned and ignorant in a lot of ways. And God has to keep me humble in a lot of ways as well, lest I be exalted above measure. When Satan has attempted to take everything from you as a child of God and from you as a church, Dutch Fork, listen to me. All you have, listen to me, when it's all taken from you, all you have is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. Well, my friend, listen to me. That's all you need. You're a winner. You're a winner. I've read the last chapter. So stand. Paul said, so stand. Stand that you might be able to withstand
And having done all that's for it, stand for the glory of God and demonstrate the power of God and let the power of God change the hearts and the lives of people and bring praise to the Heavenly Father through you. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Would you pray with me, please?